Our 12 statements are: communication contains losses, most long-distance communication relies on wires, senders and receivers cause delay, communication is an active process, long-distance communication is interceptable, long-distance communication often requires active facilitation, speed of transmission is limited by the speed of light, communication connects two points, extreme weather can interfere with long-distance communication, access to long-distance communication is easier than it has ever been. Long-distance communication requires energy that scales with distance. And the more that is sent, the faster it moves, the faster it decays. So we have our 12 statements for long-distance communication. We're going to move on to section 4. But in this world, now we're going to imagine new worlds where things are different. Each player is going to start one new world and create the initial vision that we'll explore together. Once each world is done, we'll set it aside and start over again, repeating this process until we have a whole string of worlds. Each will be a different take on the same topic and statements, but otherwise completely independent from the others. So far, we've discussed what we made, but from now on, we won't collaborate directly. Instead, we'll take turns contributing independently and building on what other players have said. When it's someone else's turn, don't coach or give them suggestions. Give them time to come up with their own ideas. It's also critical that we listen to each other and don't contradict what has already been established about each world. Not every world will turn out the way we want, but since we'll be making several, you'll have other chances to craft something you like. Without explaining anything, I would like a volunteer.
I'll go.
Excellent. Rally, the first three things you're going to do, and we'll do them one at a time. We'll start with A. What is different? Make a new world, one player volunteers. That player picks one statement and describes how in this world it is not the same. Keep it simple and avoid touching on any of the other statements. What I'm going to do is I'm going to copy all of our statements. So when you use the one, delete it. So before you write anything, talk it out.
Sure. Transmissions do not decay is the what is different.
What is that? Which one is that? Changing?
That is changing either 1 or 12 or...
Gotta pick one.
I think 1. No, that's not...
1 isn't about decay. 1 is about inherent losses. 12 is about decay.
Then 12. 12.
Next, what is the same? That player may pick up to 2 statements that are still true and stay the same in this world. If necessary, describe how they mesh with the statement that it was already declared to be different. So now you're going to pick 0, 1, or 2 statements and write them in the next section. But before you write anything, talk it out. Like, don't even start writing until you've said some stuff. This isn't just because of the audio format. This is the game.
Yeah. But also remember the audio format.
Also remember the audio format.
What audio format are we recording now?
If you want to expand on transmissions do not decay a little bit, what does this mean?
Transmissions do not decay. They are perpetually accessible.
Great.
So once it's sent out, it can always be seen.
Excellent. And that's all you have to, like, you don't have to elaborate further than that. So now what is the same?
I'm taking long distance communication as interceptable because I really like the idea of these echoes being heard infinitely. And so... you may not have context, you may not know the larger story behind it, but you can still find, like, what has been sent out ages past. So I'm going to keep long-distance communication as interceptable. And then I kind of like extreme weather can interfere with long-distance communication.
There'll be a flawed communication forever. That is neat.
Right? Yeah. Just because, like, I think the implications of what that means is so loaded because, like, how is it perpetual? Like if you have an infinite like echo chamber for knowledge, or like if it's being sent out and then it just echoes infinitely through space, like, yeah, I just really like the idea of there being a physical change to it, which then like impacts that constant, that it never truly degrades, it just warps.
So what do you mean by it doesn't degrade but it warps?
Because like, let's say that there's like extreme weather, and so like the pitch would like go up or down, or it might like make things like extend, so would this mean that
like transmissions do not decay over time, but there are other things that can occur in time to decay the transmission?
Not to decay it, but to,
I mean, if there's an alteration, it, that is a decay, right? Like that is a
not really. It's like filtering, right? Like, yeah, there's an aspect to it, but that data still is there. If you're applying a filter mm-hmm. over it versus you're directly modifying the original message.
I see what you're saying. So do you want to write a little bit of what you're saying here down now that you've talked about it, just so we have that as a reference?
Physical things can impact the, not attenuation, but physical things can impact.
I mean, I think what you said works. It warps them, right? Is what you said.
Yeah. And warp communications.
And how you're thinking of warping while still, like, in this world, decay is not warp.
Mm-hmm.
But it has never changed such that it is decayed. Like, it is still, you could still recover the original message, correct? Is that what you're thinking?
It is always reversible warp and, like, easily reversible?
Value statement.
It cannot be destroyed.
It cannot be destroyed. Excellent.
Your conversations will always be heard by everyone.
Well, it only says long distance communication, right? Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. So
that's what we mean. But let's move on to what it looks like. So third, that player may also tell us broadly what this world looks like. Is it modern, shiny, futuristic dome cities in outer space, ancient tribes? Otherwise, we assume the world looks like ours now. They can also say whether the statements that are different had always been that way in this world, or whether it used to be like ours and then changed. So the example for part C is, they describe the world as a primitive land of ziggurats and broad canals irrigating clay-walled farmlands. In the other game, the first player says it is basically our world, but just a few years into a more advanced technological future. What does this world look like? Again, just don't write anything down, just talk us through it.
I think that the implication of not having information decay is fascinating, in the sense of the very concept of histories written by the victors is then like flawed, because there will always be something that actively challenges it that is from that point. So the concept of time and like ancestry, etc., from the moment that those echoes are created is influenced. And I think that brings like a level of skepticism to concepts like immortality, because no matter what, that still is a flawed human being. So it also like directly, I don't know. I think of it in terms of like a culture that can either see or hear or whatever events of the past, and how that impacts them like hundreds of years into the future, where they still have access and there is no like loss. You know, you think about like the impact on like libraries or archives. And I kind of love the idea of it being like, there's all this historical knowledge that is filtered out and put into like specific areas, so the echoes continue in like an accessible form. But I feel like it's, what if libraries were the most important thing? You know, that's kind of what I see as being like a big change.
Okay, so it looks like our world, but libraries are like sort of more central.
Yeah. And I think like that would impact a lot of decisions around like
I will say, don't worry about decisions right now. If I have a camera, what does the camera see?
No, I'm saying in terms of like decisions for things like architecture, right?
Okay, so sure,
like
yeah.
not our decisions of people within that context. I kind of love the idea of it being like kind of a blend of like Renaissance era and also just because of the way that they adored like classical shit, but then also like informed by like more early days of computing, like neoclassical.
Excellent. Can you write that down now?
Sure.
Trying to find different neoclassical architecture examples so that if they are not what you're looking for, you can delete them.
Mm-hmm. No, I think this is kind of like capturing what I mean, because you can see like there's the clear influence of like Roman columns and like
the 1960s take on 16th century's take on first century's
exactly,
architecture.
Exactly. And that's what I want to capture, is like that concept of, so the way I wrote it out, to summarize for our friends, the world champions records and echoes and builds to reflect that immortality of record. It is neoclassical in its attachment to the past, still containing aspects of flawed interpretation due to limits in context. Access to truth becomes less about wording and more about the additive context of who, when, where, and why. To this point, physical dialogues are kept in mausoleums of framing. And that just means, like, it is a place where you would walk through rooms of a building to get all the different sides of a story, because there are these different echoes from different people to help build out a more full picture than relying on one person's account. I kind of like the skepticism that comes from knowing that just hearing someone's words does not a full picture give. So I love the idea of like these mausoleums you walk through and experience the conversations of the past.
How far back does it reach? Like, the question I'm really asking, sorry, Lou, I'm just going to confirm this first.
Go ahead.
Were these statements always true? Is there a point in which these statements were not true?
I think so. I think it's kind of with the advent of like long distance communication itself. Mm. So whatever the method is, because information cannot be destroyed, it's sort of like if you saw the threads of a butterfly effect, that's just there. It doesn't like.
So hundreds or thousands of years ago, a technology was hit upon that was permanent and lossless.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or 20.
And
who knows?
Yeah. So I like the idea of the society / like, I wouldn't say species, but the society has been around for at least 200 years, because I think that's sufficient time for there to be like at least two generations, actually, we'll say. Mm-hmm. Let's say going on at least three generations. And that's because I was born in the 90s and cell phones and everything, and the idea of how different life is now because of access to different formats is super cool to me.
All right.
Can I ask
a question?
Yeah, Lou. I'm wondering if, because of this kind of focus on preserving, you know, like what is kind of a ground truth or many different perspectives, do you think this leads to an obsession with what might be the ground truth or what is truth in certain situations? Or do you think it's the opposite?
Can I interrupt you with this?
Yeah.
Because I think this is going to be what's relevant next. Because I don't know if it's a rally who's going to be answering this.
Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I do want you to finish your whole thought. I kind of want to give you the whole space to do that. Oh, sorry.
No, that was it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Next. Yeah.
Since that is the next step, other players build, right?
Exactly. Like, so our next thing is other players build. The first player has set the premise of this new world. Now it is the other player's job to build on that idea. Everyone takes a turn, and I think, Lou, maybe you should go first. Sorry for interrupting you. I will just say you should go. Except the player who started the world. Players can go in any order, choose one of these three options. Something is different. Pick an unused statement and say how it is not the same in this world. Describe what it's like instead. Something is the same. Pick an unused statement and say how it is basically the same in this world. Describe how it fits with what we've already said. Or, and this is what I think you were doing, Lou, add a detail. Pick something that was already said about this world and tell us more or reveal some other facet of it. Anything you describe must respect what's already been established in this world. Never contradict what's already been said. First two choices are the same as the first player. However, to add detail, just say more about something that was already said. Explore the implications of what we know. Describe how it works or how it impacts lives. Don't change the idea. Just add more and build on what they said. You can even add detail to a previously added detail. The example for this is a player adds detail to priests command gods and says that gods hide from mortals, but hunters ferret out their hidden shrines and drag them back to cities where they are imprisoned in towering ziggurats to serve mortals. So, Lou, I think this is your time to shine.
Okay.
Rock and roll.
So building on the main thing of transmissions do not decay, they are perpetual, and that in the extra details that Rally talked about how there are mausoleums of framing, the detail is that the mausoleums of framing are managed by not quite religious sects, but very almost monk-like organizations of people who are obsessed with studying the concept of truth and determining what, like, the main truth is in this society's history, whatever this society is. Additionally, these sects can have differing opinions between the different mausoleums, causing conflict, perhaps.
I like that a lot.
That's it for me. Unless you want to clarify it further, Rally, or if that's not quite what you're looking for, all that.
Love it. Love it.
I think this level of detail is perfect, because we are going to do this a lot.
I'm ready.
Go for it.
I think something that is different is long-distance communication often requires active facilitation.
Ooh.
However it is done, I think in this world, it is extraordinarily accessible. Essentially, anyone can just do it.
What does just do it, man?
I mean, we still don't have a robust framework for how long-distance communication is done in the first place. So we'll need to come up with specifics for what that communication is. But I think however it is done, it is, if it is technological, which it sounds like it is since it creates physical artifacts that are, you know, entombed in mausoleums, that technology is either so ubiquitous or so simple to produce that the idea of someone not having essentially unfettered access is almost unthinkable. Like, kind of like how the idea of illiteracy in the developed world is almost unthinkable, so too is access to this technology. Like, everyone has it, and you don't need specialized equipment, you don't need complicated technology, you don't need someone who knows how to operate a thing. Like, everyone knows and has access. Since we have this idea of, like, these mausoleums of information, and this collection of the truth and the collation of context, the idea that anyone at any point can contribute to that context and to these conversations, and it's not just, you know, the transmissions of the powerful, the wealthy, the elite that are entombed and are the sources of this truth, but, you know, some random individual working a desk job if it's a modern society, or working in the fields if it's agrarian, and, like, they make up a critical component of this context, and finding those transmissions is not difficult. And so in these mausoleums, in addition to finding and collecting important information, a key part of it is deciding what context is relevant to any particular aspect of truth or of this truth. And so there, the issue is more of editing down from a wealth of information instead of cobbling together enough. Mm-hmm. And so the arrival of ideology in these mausoleums with the conflicts that may arise in the differing of opinion comes from the who discerns what information is important to any particular conversation. How do people feel about that?
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Lou.
Oh, no, my only thought is like, I really want to pin down what these things being stored look like and whether mm-hmm. they store spoken word or something you read or something you experience, like what mode.
I feel like that probably is a thing to do when we all add detail, mm-hmm. the next step.
I guess mm-hmm. it's not dependent on...
That's my thinking.
...this, but yeah, to me, I'm having trouble...
Yeah, me too. I'm with this, I'm trying to add like a framework to think about for when we decide what exactly it is.
That's great. Okay. I understand.
You know, it's something that is readily accessible. It is something that is ubiquitous and known and understood mm-hmm. instead of being something obscure or complicated.
Awesome.
I want to clarify something just so I'm not contradicting you with what I'm about to add. When you say simple to produce, ubiquitous... What do you mean?
I mean, whatever form it takes, because we don't have a form for this communication. We don't know if it is mm-hmm. like an electronic communication. We don't know if it works through the laws of physics as we understand them, or if there is some fundamental difference in metaphysics. I mean, like to some degree there is, because entropy appears to work differently, but that's neither here nor there. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, whatever form it takes, everyone can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I gave the analogy of like literacy in our, you know, developed wealthy setting. The idea of someone being illiterate in this context is so uncommon as to be almost unthinkable when just a few hundred years ago, that was the majority of the population. And so that is a technology, essentially, literacy, that has become so ubiquitous that everyone has access to it. And so it is with this, you know, here is a means of communication that everyone has. There isn't a meaningful financial barrier, whether that's some state has decreed that everyone will have access to it, whether that's, it's just so easy to put together that literally anyone can grab stuff and cobble together something. I don't know. I'm not talking about the whys and hows mm-hmm. specifically, just mm-hmm. whatever it is,
okay.
It is so commonplace that everyone has it.
Okay, let me know if this contradicts yours. What I'm thinking is what I'm going to do is I'm going to make something stay the same. I'm going to pick number two. Mm-hmm. Most long-distance communication relies on wires. However, because this communication seems to also just exist, not degrade and be extreme, like doesn't even rely on specialized equipment. I'm imagining these wires, whether it's the way they are built or the material they are built from, is leaky. Like the information leaks in a different sense. Like it goes through wires. Are they electronic wires? I don't like that. That's the main thing, is there are physical things connecting points.
Yeah, physical lines of transmission.
The communication aqueduct.
exactly. The communication aqueduct, aka big wire.
So if that's the case, the only way that would really contradict is if it is somehow difficult to add a node.
Exactly.
And so as long as it's easy to add a node and anyone can just get on this information network.
The blockchain.
Yeah. Oh God.
We've invented physical blockchain. Is that better?
I mean, I'm using node in a more fundamental meaning, not necessarily the cryptographic one.
Yes, I think that is perfect. Anyone not can just sort of like append to this wire system. It's like there. It's almost like, it's almost just like, what if I could hook my telephone up to like literally just walking down the street or whatever? And it's like, I'm going to put a message into the world. Let me just add a little communication node along the way. Just
Yeah, like I'm going to walk up to the wire and poke it and boom, now I'm connected.
Oh, I love that.
My physical
The my wires physical are reference physically for this manipulable to like you can transmit information by doing something physical with the wire themselves. There isn't actually a tool, it's the wire.
What's the wire?
I think of like people stealing cable and just like they're all pulling from the same cable node. Like if you've ever seen like a place where people have illegally stolen cable, it's like there's splitters that go off in every single direction.
Oh yeah.
Cam, I think, were you going to say that it contradicts it all? No,
I as again, so long as it is extremely easy to get onto this information network, it's not a contradiction at all. You know, as long
just
as,
make sure.
You know, like a literal child could go up and then be on
There's
it.
There's so many weird messages from children.
We're fine.
Oh my God. Sorry, that's maybe adding a detail, but.
But I mean, it suggests itself and it's great. Like a 6-year-old kid wanted to declare its love for like this particular kind of fruit. And it's like, yeah, that's just here forever now. We have this message. It is eternal.
You know how people carve their names into trees that are like, Jane and Olivia love each other forever. XOXO heart. That's just, there's just that.
Yep. And it will never go away.
It'll never go away. Better than a tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a tree that anyone can see anywhere at any time.
Okay,
or if it's collected into a mausoleum, you have to go to the mausoleum, maybe.
I'm going
to
cut myself off there because I feel like we're just there. Adding. This is a very, I like this. Clearly, very fun.
This is way
cool. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to cut it off there so people can also add details if they wish. The next part is very easy. Round 2, we all add details. Set aside all statement cards. Now that each player has contributed, every player gets to go again in any order, including the player who started the world. But this time, each player can only add detail to something that has already been said. Focus on exploring what we have already established about this world. Don't change existing ideas. Dig into what we already know or fill in gaps we haven't touched upon. Anybody want to go?
I have a felon since people have asked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of love the idea of like linearity in this. And so I visualize it as being like these threads that you can tap into from wherever they're encoded, like a loom. You've got a continuous thread that spirals out and people can tap into it and like weave other threads onto it, but they can't ever remove that initial thread. So, like, as a visual, I'm thinking, you know, what if it was like the Aurora, but it's made up of these indestructible threads that are intangible to you and I in our daily life, but the light can be harnessed and then, like, echoed as well. These ethereal threads in space is how I see that perpetual information. And then the mausoleums are like these halls full of threads that you can sort of like brush into and they'll play whatever was encoded in the thread.
So are you saying, just for my own clarity so that I'm visualizing this right, are you saying that the threads are the information, or like the threads are the wires and they sort of construct information, and like where do the threads come from? I guess like you're saying they're intrinsic.
I feel like the threads are it is a physical manifestation of information.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of like if fiber optic cables, the fibers themselves were the data, and then
so
the wires
is transmitted along wires, and then like an output is this thread of information.
I kind of see it as being like the wires that connect two points that you're using that are required are just kind of like conduits, and the thread kind of wraps around them, and it's about like helping that string go in a certain direction more than it's about like being the thing itself. So it's catching these things that are in the wind and focusing them to certain points. And that's why like if you tap into it, you get a branch of it.
You know, like the zip tube in Futurama where they
stick a tube in an air thing and it goes zoop and then comes out somewhere else. Is that what you're thinking?
Sort of. I think of it like, okay,
but it's like,
so
the,
you know,
zoop thing is created by nature itself or the wires.
No.
All right.
Is it like a product of the, like, the material that the wire is made of produces these threads that contain the information transmitted along the wire?
The simplest analogy I can think of is cotton candy machine. and that sounds silly, but
great.
But think about it. So the information itself are particles. When it's assembled and then transmitted, it takes the shape of the floss, right? The candy floss.
Mm-hmm.
And then what the wire is that connects two places is just the stick that you hold and the floss wraps around it and it pulls outwards. And
so do people harvest the, like, the transmissions from the wires? Is that like a job that exists in this world?
Yeah, I think that would be a job. And that's also why, like, even though anyone can sort of like get access to it, like, there still is that aspect of like why it would be also pulled and like picked through and filtered down to like the core aspects in those mausoleums. And mausoleum,
is done with the threads that people don't care about?
I think there's a way of like of separating the chaff from the whey, right? Like, because
yeah,
it
but
has
what is
these
done with the chaff?
Formats.
This might be a thing you
the
have
chaff
to add, Cam.
Yeah, I think
it might be.
Go for it.
I was going to do something different, but I might have to think about that. I have a decision between two things now. Because I was going to try and add detail about what is the method of interfacing with the wires. Mm-hmm. Like, what is this technology that people can interact with?
Well, I just want to give Rally a chance to finish
absolutely.
Your
finish
thought,
up.
And then Cam, I think you should go right after.
Oh no, I have to make my choice now.
No, you don't.
I can't
you
wait for someone else
like
to say something.
You had a thought. Sorry, but Rally.
Well, I have two thoughts, okay. And I think the thing I maybe want to do is let other people go, so that way maybe they'll give me information that points me in one direction or the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rally?
I posted two GIFs. One is a cotton candy machine and the other is a loom. And that's kind of where I see, like, when you make wool, it's slightly different. But yeah, that I think that's the core of what I'm viewing is, like, these otherwise intangible, like, intangible to the human body or whatever, can be interacted with and aggregated into strings. And those strings can be conducted along those wires. And they can be diverted or they can be duplicated and you get strings that go on in other places. But it is sort of that. I'm just thinking of, like, what if you had a cotton candy that was made out of Aurora Borealis? Like, that's beautiful to me. And I really love the idea of, like, tapestries of this aurora that, like, exist because people have pulled it together, and that's like the full contextual image of a situation because it's combining all these other like conversations into something that is physically represented as like this tapestry.
Rural tapestries as repository of transmission and information.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is a stunningly beautiful visual, Rally.
Rally, I would love if you capture this in text now. I'm so sorry. Don't worry, you have a lot of time because I'm now going to ask Cam, are you ready? If not, I have one.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what I'm thinking is, so we've established, thank you, Lou, that there are mausoleums of truth managed by sects of monks obsessed.
That's world two right now.
Oh, I'm dumb.
Sorry.
Oh,
it scrolled me down.
I thought you meant me, and I was like, I think we only have one.
No, we do. We're done with the wrong. yeah, I know
what's
going on. I know where we're going.
You are not only the mausoleum of truth. God, that would be such a making me.
I am prescient, actually. Didn't you know?
You know, I'm not gonna do a mausoleum of future truth, which sounds amazing. Instead, what I am going to do is there is also a sect of monks determined to provide the anti-truth, to work against the mausoleums of truth. They believe there is this like belief of truth is subjective. We should not be solidifying truth. And so they work to pollute these lines with anti-truth. This is my contribution. Thank you. I like to make everything bad.
Transmitting lies or even just collating information that appears to contradict what has been collected, problematizing and troubling all of the accepted dogma of the mausoleums. I can get behind that.
I can go next, but I have a question that will kind of change or might, you know, inform these kind of woven communications. I understand that they do not decay and they last forever, but once they are taken off of the so-called loom, do they only exist in the mausoleums, or do people make copies, or like?
I'm open to suggestions first, and then I'll give my take on it. Just because I do think there's a potential thing, but I kind of want to know where you're going with it.
Because either way, it's super interesting to me. Like, either these mausoleums are hoarding information, they'll take something off and then keep it, or people make copies of it. But then copies would cause more, you know, decay. When you copy something, it is changed in my
opinion. There's no decay.
There's no decay.
Oh, there's no decay. So you can make perfect copies of...
Exactly.
All copies are lossless.
Then actually this is kind of, no, this would just be kind of like Claire's, where that, you know, you can make copies and then people might make copies and then, well, what if that actually, so then if people can make copies, could they then not make lies or distort the copy into something new?
This is exactly what I'm, yes.
That's what you're saying.
This is what I'm saying, is like
transmissions are eternal. There is no way of discerning the truth value of any transmission. It's just a transmission that exists forever.
And so we then have it almost
becomes like, who has, it's like quantity. If you have a quantity of stuff, it leads to truth, maybe, for some of these monks. Like, it's just about how much you have.
But if you have a strong network disseminating false information.
The point of origin is incredibly important, right? Mm-hmm. So, because it continuously goes, to sort of answer your question. I feel like if it's endlessly branching off, then you can find the point of origin.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that's a good one. That maybe
if it's being collected, could it not be falsified?
Sorry.
If it's collected, is it not falsifiable?
Oh, it certainly is.
Of information. Yeah.
But as like all information, because there is that like legacy to it, that physical legacy, theoretically, if you want to challenge a truth, you could journey all the way to the font, right? To the fountainhead.
Yeah. Actually, so I'll...
except not the fountainhead.
Yeah, I'll kind of write that down as like... it like all the transmissions are traceable. They have like a signature, an unforgeable signature of who created the transmission. Mm.
I like that.
Unalterable metadata built into the transmission.
Yeah. Like there's a DNA, there's almost like DNA of the thread. Like there's
Yep.
I'll just say
analogy,
yeah, there's a,
really.
Yeah, there's a signature.
We really are just making physical blockchain. I'm sorry.
Except it's only for like information transmission. It's not a record of.
But it is.
Any, like, it's,
like we have
can't
physical
be possessed,
records.
Though. It's like, what if blockchain wasn't terrible and used a bunch of energy?
Yeah. Wait, blockchain already does use a lot of energy.
No, and doesn't,
I said
use,
doesn't.
Oh, and
use
doesn't
energy.
Use, sorry, I thought you said and does. Yeah.
It is.
What if it's not actively contributing to climate change and also solves a bunch of the problems with blockchain?
We did it, exactly. Reddit. We fixed blockchain.
Yeah.
All you need is magic data transmission.
It says it's magic. Yeah. Well, then again, we do not.
Compared to our world, it is. We do not have lossless, interminable data transmission. That's
yes. All right.
That's not how entropy works. We can't do
I
that.
I know this was my derailment, but I want to keep us moving. So, Cam, have you decided?
Yeah. What was the thing that I was told maybe I should talk about? I promptly forgot about it, which is not ideal.
The how to interface versus something.
Yeah, the interfacing part I remembered because that was something I was already thinking about. And then there was this other option that came off of Rally's detail that I don't remember.
If nobody remembers, maybe go with the other one.
Yeah, I'm thinking unfalsifiable information. So that means that forgery becomes extremely difficult, but all you need to do is make it close enough that people cannot detect it currently. It's not unlike how people falsify things now. There's like an arms race for detection versus falsification, which is neat. I like that. We have people who are actively working contrary to those who are attempting to collect truth, which is neat. Having to do with the sort of who collects truth, who hoard, or information, I should say, like transmissions. Who collects the information? Who hoards it? Who weaves it? Like, we know it's with these mausoleums, but then these mausoleums become kind of like keepers of information, and what they choose to disseminate becomes kind of cultural notions of like the accepted ideas of the environment, right? Like, that's sort of an emergent property of everything we've said. Yes.
Sorry, could you rephrase that?
So if you have these mausoleums that are collecting it, there would be people that are in a position of societal regard, power, authority, whatever, who have the sort of the say in what goes into the mausoleum and what doesn't, what they do want. That's right. It was sorting the wheat from the chaff. That's what I was talking about. What is considered wheat, what is considered chaff, is unlike with actual wheat, where there is just a thing and we go, yep, that's what we want, and nope, that isn't. There's a value judgment being made, and people will be making those judgments.
I really like that.
Yeah, and so one of the foundational differences between different mausoleums will be the judgments that are ascribed to it and the sort of politicized ideologies of these different collections, of these different groups. And that will lead to kind of almost pseudo-religiosity, I would imagine, around these different organizations. You know, what do we accept as our understanding of the past? Which tapestry is our tapestry? So there'd be like a factionalization, which has already been established, but one of the foundations in those differences will be the ideology underpinning the sorting process and what goes in, what does not.
So what is the thing that you're establishing?
That's a great question.
I guess
the sorting.
How to distill that down into a statement?
Yeah, I think the question you asked before is like, what happens with the chaff?
Yeah, that was the question I asked before, is what happens with it?
Yeah, so is that what you want to answer?
Oh, maybe.
You're talking about
just putting down a few notes, but you can erase
it. I was like, who separates it?
There are the monks
already. Yeah, all good, thank you.
Is the thing.
Yes. Yeah. It's like the ideology. So I think everything I've said up till this point sort of like is not necessary, but is a natural conclusion of everything we've already established. So what I think, because it cannot be destroyed, but it is presumably very, very small, and therefore finding places to store it is not difficult. There are vast repositories of rejected truth that are, I think, accessible to people. And that is perhaps one of the ways that both conflicting mausoleums may like sort through that. Okay. There is a central body that collects rejected truth.
Oh my god.
I love that. I love that so much.
And
I just love
keeps
the term
it
rejected
accessible
truth.
To any who
central body of rejected
truth. Oh, yeah,
that
was, keep talking.
Yeah, that was very deliberate. Yeah. And keeps accessible to as many people as possible, and allows for free copying and dissemination of this information that is not enshrined.
This is amazing. I need us to name this world now. So
I'm really happy with this. This is so cool,
so
guys.
So this is only world one. So the last part is name the world. Discuss together and give the world a title that describes the themes or ideas that emerged. Examples are World of Peace Without Kings, World of Cairns in the Meadow, World of Old Justice, World of Starfire, World of Reformers. This world is done. Turn its page face down and set it aside. Go back to the beginning of this step.
Step four, so another player who has not started a world yet can create one. Name anyone? It doesn't have to be super foundational.
World of Undying Truth.
Yeah. World of the Unblinking Eye.
And we're not even done. Like,
we're not even done.
We got three more worlds to go.
This is one of four.
We will get to the next three worlds next time.